If you will, and you have your Bible, open it to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Obviously, here in this psalm, the psalmist is indicating the fact that he is looking to the Lord to guide him, to direct him, to shepherd him, to take care of him. And he acknowledges the fact that, by and large, his path in life has been good because of the shepherding that he's received. That's the idea of, I'm not in any want. You make me lie down in green pastures where there's plenty of food. You lead me beside still waters or quiet waters. It's a place where I can get drink without fear of being sucked away in the rapids or something like that. You restore my soul, guiding me in the paths of righteousness. But he also acknowledges that times are not always going to be easy. Times are not always going to be pleasant. And as we're going through this present circumstance that we're dealing with in our nation, really in our world, gives me reason to pause when I read verse 4 and maybe think slightly differently about that than what I have in the past. The idea that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I've always thought about that as when I face my time of death and I am dying, going through that valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid because the Lord is with me. But in times like this, when it seems like death is all around us and we are plodding on through these very tumultuous times, and when the threat of physical harm from, in this case, a sickness, is present to us, we don't have to be a people who are consumed by fear. Because you are with me. Because God is with us. Because we are with God. And his rod and his staff can be a comfort to us. His guidance, his instruction, his correction can be a comfort to us even in these difficult times. But let's be clear about something. We are definitely now in uncharted territory. I don't think anyone expected to happen what has happened. I know I, not in my wildest dreams, did I think that our government was going to say, you're not allowed to come out. I've been warning us for a year and a half at least that persecution is coming, and that we need to have a firm commitment and a firm conviction about what we believe before we're confronted with that persecution. And I've been saying, you know, it could be realistically that the government outlaws religion altogether. Well, what are we going to do? Or it could be that some other religious influence, perhaps like Islam or something like that, could come in and overwhelm us. And literally it becomes a question of life or death. Either you're going to continue your allegiance to Christ, or you are literally going to be killed, maybe right there in the street. And I've been warning us and encouraging us that we need to be people of conviction, to know where are we going to stand when we're confronted with that. But I did not ever think, I didn't anticipate that it could potentially come in the form of Watch out for your own personal best interests. And so this is weird what we're going through. This is unprecedented what we're going through right now in our country and in our state. But the reality is that's the boat that we find ourselves in today. And so I want to share this morning just a couple of thoughts that are hopefully going to encourage us during this difficult time, many of which are probably really reiterations of some of the things I said on Wednesday night, but I want to say them again. Number one, I want to remind us that our citizenship is in heaven. We are not supposed to be on earth forever. That's not how, I don't think God designed us to dwell here perpetually. We were supposed to be here for a time and then go to be with Him in His dwelling place, in His presence. And that is what we're striving for. That's the goal. And so we have got to be careful not to become so consumed and wrapped up in the things of this life that it prevents us from keeping our eye on that heavenly goal and remembering where our true citizenship lies. Secondly, I want to remind us that especially in difficult times, we need to put our trust in God. If you're still there in the book of Psalms, turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, beginning in verse 1, Psalm of David, it says, David speaking here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. And though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He'll conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in my tent sacrifices, or I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. And do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Now, the circumstances that David faced here when he wrote this psalm are different than the circumstances we're facing today. But the principle is the same, that in the face of adversity, in the face of trial, in the face of uncertainty, in the face of danger, God's people put their trust in God. And even if, guys, He doesn't deliver us from the present circumstance, as you talked about, Kenny, we need not fear those who can kill the body but then do nothing more to us. Fear the one who has the authority over our eternal soul. the worst thing that can happen to you in this life is to die. But maybe that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. We need to put our trust in the Lord. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 12. Sorry, not 1 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul talks about his call to preach the gospel and to be an apostle of the Lord and to share that message. And obviously we know that resulted in all sorts of ill treatment of the apostle Paul. But he says, "For this reason I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." But Paul was not concerned about his physical well-being. He was willing to spend and be spent physically for his brethren, for those who needed to hear the gospel. But what he had entrusted to God was the care of his soul. And he said, "I'm confident that no matter what happens to me in this life, God will take me through to be with him." And that needs to be our attitude as well. As Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 8, encouraging them to put their trust in the Lord. Beginning in verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." There's a sense in which we could get ourselves into some trouble in this life. But if we're doing the right thing, if we're doing what God wants us to do, we don't need to fear. And even if charges are brought against us for doing our best to do what we believe we need to do in service of our King, ultimately, when we stand before the great tribunal of God, Jesus will be our advocate who will intercede for us. And with him on our side, we have no need to fear. He goes on and says in verse 35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" And I want you to notice some of the things that he puts out there. Is it going to be tribulation? Is it going to be distress? Is it going to be persecution? Is it going to be famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? But just as it's written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing, guys, that can separate you from the love of God if you've been washed in him, if you've been justified in him, if you've been brought back into a relationship with him through the reconciliation that is in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be a people of courage. We need to not fear. But again, in these difficult times and in light of the fact that we are in uncharted territory, I want to reiterate and emphasize again what we said on Wednesday night. The reality is that each of us individually are going to have to make a determination for ourselves. what we are going to do in the coming days and weeks. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm grappling with that. What is the best thing to do? What is the right thing to do? What should we refrain from doing? And I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't have good answers right now. I have a feeling that I'm probably going to be struggling with those questions throughout this entire process. But in light of the fact that it is unknown, and each of us are going to have to grapple with what to do and how we as individuals or as families are going to proceed in the coming days and weeks and maybe months, we need to be patient with one another. The passage I wish I had shared on Wednesday that I didn't is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness or meekness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We have to be careful during this time not to become critical of the choices and decisions that our brethren are making. And I'm speaking to those on both sides. The reality is that if somebody decides something different than what I have decided, I need to be careful not to pass judgment on them. I need to be patient. I need to be understanding. I need to demonstrate love to them. I want to share with you a portion of a letter that was shared with me and several others. As far as how one congregation is proceeding with this issue. As many of you know, our governor, in an attempt to control the spread of COVID-19, has issued a shelter-in-place order until April 7th. He said that such is impossible to enforce, so he will, quote, "rely on Illinoisans to be good members of their communities and good citizens." May we as Christians demonstrate such good behavior. Now, concerning how this may apply to Sunday worship will depend upon one's own convictions. For those with conviction to follow the governor's order per Romans 13:1 and not meet on Sunday, we want you to know that we hold no judgment against you and know that some of our number also hold this view. We understand your desire to follow such order along with being considerate of those whom you may be placing at risk by assembling. I understand that there are other scripture that may support this position, but for sake of keeping it concise, I refrain from expounding. For those with the conviction to meet on Sunday as they interpret scripture bearing out a command from the Lord that supersedes an executive order to protect oneself and others from an infectious disease, our Sunday service will not be suspended. Also know that we do not hold judgment against you, and some of our number also hold this view. I understand that there are other scripture that may support this position, but for the sake of keeping it concise, I'll refrain from expounding. We are also asking all to be patient with one another's actions as they respond according to their conviction, whether to assemble or not to assemble. Be gracious and use this as an opportunity to study these views. I think that that's obviously the opinion of some men, some shepherds of a local congregation, when I think there's great wisdom in the way that they're approaching that. And I would encourage us to heed that same admonition, especially at the end, to be gracious towards one another and to use this as an opportunity to study so that we can grow closer to God and grow closer to one another. So again, as we go through the coming days and weeks and possibly months, let us heed the plea of the Apostle Paul there in Ephesians chapter 4. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It would be a shame to do the right thing and then have the wrong attitude about it and thereby forfeit your salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in this time of uncertainty, in this time of concern, in this time of the unknown. And we ask you, dear Lord, to watch over us, to protect us, to guide us, to direct us. Help us to look to you for strength and for comfort. Help us to look to you for courage. And help us to look to you and make sure that throughout these difficult times, we are still striving to serve you. Help us to find ways in which we can be together without necessarily having to be together. Let us find ways in which we can encourage one another and strengthen one another, even in physical absence from one another. Help us to learn from this experience, dear Lord, so that we can identify our weaknesses, so that we can improve in areas where we are deficient, so that we can come through this difficult time stronger and better for it. Help us always to demonstrate love and humility and grace in our approach to one another. And help us to grow closer to you throughout this experience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.